Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. The hosts that you love and know will never post on time.
Hello.
Bye, Brooke. Yeah. We were going to record when Liz was here the other week, and we didn't. And then we were going to record the other night, and then we got distracted and we didn't. And then just now we almost got distracted looking at diamond rings because, no, lab-grown diamond rings. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Brooke educated me just moments ago about what a blood diamond was. I have never heard of that before. And I know... Now that I know what it is, it makes sense. And I know that there's like conflict about natural diamonds, but I didn't know they were called blood diamonds. And when you told me why, I was a little shocked. That was shocking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Google a blood diamond if you don't know what it is.
Yeah. And if you know what blood money is, it's like pretty much the same money that was gained from bloodshed or some other bad activity. A blood diamond's like pretty much the same. But yeah, we were just looking at rings because we like jewelry. And I don't know, I like looking at stuff like that. Damn it. Okay. I saw poison.
Thanks.
Yeah. So we were looking at that shit. But anyways, I at least have a few things to drop on the pod that are a little bit shocking coming from me. Things that I haven't even told you yet.
What?
So you're going to get your first impression.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Or I'm going to get your first impression, your initial reaction. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Very, very shocking things. Okay, so one. Jackson Buckley, get out of this. I'm leaving that in this episode. Get out and stop interrupting. Boyfriend for sale. $10 or best offer. He's doing a little dance and he's like waving his arms and acting crazy. Anyways, get out!
Boyfriend OBO.
Boyfriend, $15 or best offer. Anyways, so the first thing that I'm going to talk about is something that I actually talked with my therapist in therapy today about this topic. And if you've listened to the podcast for a while, then you may have listened to our mothers and like mothering series, and you kind of know like a little bit of the backstory about both of our situations with our mothers. Liz has passed away when we were younger in a really sudden accident, and I have just not spoken to mine in a very long time. And the last time that I spoke to her was at my sister's wedding in 2021. And at the wedding, she just acted as if she had never done anything that she had done to me. I won't go into the story. If you're really all that interested, like, just go listen to the old episodes. I'm sure it'll come up somewhere. But she just acted like nothing she had said or done to me had ever happened. And of course, because she abuses like drugs and alcohol, she probably forgot what she did. But so one thing that keeps like coming up constantly in my therapy sessions is the aspect and like talk of mothering, being a mom, being pregnant, feeling disconnected from my friends who have kids, my fear of pregnancy, and just like all of these like different things that revolve around that. And today it came up because I was saying, like, you know, like there's been this theme lately. Like I've been reading a lot of thrillers and mysteries, and the narrator is like always a pregnant woman, or she always has a toddler, or she always has a baby. And so my brain is like constantly in this mindset of like protecting your child. Like my brain, I'll be reading and I'm like in the place of the narrator. So my brain just like kind of has been staying around the idea of like, what does it feel like to love something so fucking much that you just look at it and you're like, I would die for you. Like, I mean, I would die for Mia. Let's be real. But like a human is different. And the other day, I promise I'm getting to my point. The other day, I got to see my college best friend's child for the first time. He's 10 months old. He was the cutest thing I have ever seen in my life. And again, I think this goes back to like, this was my friend's baby. So it's like, if I held like you as a baby, like if I was holding your child, it would mean so much to me because that's your little being. Like that's a part of your soul that you made. And I've always wanted to hold my friends as babies. I wish that I could like just pick up baby Liz and just like squish her, because like I just want to like hug and like protect, you know? But like I just fell in love with him instantly. He was making eyes at me. He had four little front teeth and he was like just being so precious. And I think seeing her and seeing how much like she truly just loved every aspect of like momming, like she, you know, would clean off his feet when he got food all over himself. And like at one point it was so cute. She's not one of those like first time moms that like if their binky drops she sprays it with Lysol. No, this binky fell and I was like, oh, do you like want to wipe it off or something? And she's like, fuck no, put some hair on his chest. And she just gave it back to him, which I thought was funny as hell. And I was just looking at her, I was like, dude, you guys like make me look at it different. Like you guys make this, you're making parenting look fun. And I have never seen anybody, even my own sister, I've never seen anybody make it look enjoyable. And like just like, and maybe I was like, and maybe the baby was just being well behaved. I'm sure he has his meltdowns. I'm sure his blowouts fucking suck. He had one before they showed up. But I was just like, would you like guys want another one? Like, I'm just so interested in this, because this is someone I used to like party with. Like, this is someone that like I have so many memories with because we met in college. And they just looked at each other and Kirsten was like, you know, we're not trying, but I think I'm at the point where like if it happens, it happens. And like, I'm 100% okay with it. I'm like, that's how you know someone genuinely like loves being a mom. And like, they have reached that point in their life where they're like, I'm done making it just like about me. Like I'm ready to start sacrificing those things to like complete. Cause like once you have a couple kids, a couple years apart, like the further spaced out they are, like the more of your life that you are essentially putting to the wayside to raise an infant. And I just loved him so much. He was so sweet and cuddly. And he just like, I love when a baby loves me. You know that when a baby loves me, I love the baby. I can't help it. A baby smiles at me. A baby hugs me. A baby picks me over its mom. And I'm like, I want to squish you. You're so cute. I was talking to my therapist today about all this shit. She's like, yeah, seeing a 10-month-old baby grinning at you will definitely do that to you. Like, so tell me like what your fears are and like all this shit. So I start listing off. I'm like, okay, well, me and Liz have this whole list. You can rip. Your nose can get huger. Your nose is huge. Your teeth, like if you have like really bad morning sickness, like the acidity can like rot your teeth. And all of this shit. And she was like, I'm not trying to like sway you towards having kids or like anything like that. But I do just want to say that when she's like, one, I've never even heard of the nose thing. That's interesting. But two, I do want to say that if that happens to a woman, that's a bone deficiency problem. That's not like from just throwing up, just so you know. And I was like, Okay. And I was like, but you can rip from your vagina to your anus. And she's like, yeah, that can happen. I was like, you shit on yourself. You can shit on yourself. Some women go blind. I was like, all these things happen. And then,
yeah, girl with the list has hundreds of reasons.
Yeah, girl with the list just knocked it out of the park with that one and just made me terrified. And I was just like, she's like, so it just sounds to me like a lot of your hesitation about being a parent is not about not wanting kids. It's about what it will do to your body. And I was like, yeah, honestly, yeah. Which is crazy.
Fair enough.
Huh?
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, it is true because naturally I'm a very nurturing maternal person. But I do think that my fear of like being pregnant and experiencing that and my disgust over experiencing that, it has just pushed me so far past the point of being like, okay with it, which is why I'm like, I would adopt. Like, I don't want to be pregnant. Another thing, I have a split uterus. So if I ever wanted kids, I'd have to like get that fixed first. Cause I like, I couldn't carry a child. I mean, maybe I could, but I don't think it'd be like an easy pregnancy. I don't know what happens with the split uterus. It's a heart-shaped uterus. That's what it's called. But apparently my gyno was like, if you want to have kids in the future, like it'd be fine. You probably would have to have a procedure to get rid of the split in your uterus. It's shaped like a heart and it's got like a wall in the middle. And I was like, what the fuck? Okay. But so that made me start thinking more about when I was younger, and I would say things like, I want to be a mom only because I want to give my kids what I didn't have from mine. And I just said that not really knowing what I meant by it, not really fully understanding what I meant by it. And now I disagree, because if I had kids now, it would be because I want to be a mother. And I know that I'd be a good one, not because of anything that happened to me as a child, or like not for me to try to like make up for what I didn't get as a child. But so then that made us start, like, we got on the topic of my mom again. And I, Liz, I cannot believe I'm saying this. I think I'm going to reach out to her. I think I'm going to reach out to her, and I think I am going to say to her, like, this is how, in an ideal world, this is how it would go. Do I think it's going to go this way? Fuck no. But I want to reach out, because I don't feel like at this point I have anything to lose. We don't have a relationship that's going to get tarnished or fucked up if I rub her the wrong way. I want to reach out to her, and I just want to say, I want to talk to you about you. I want to know who you were before any of your kids existed. I want to know what influenced you to start doing the things that you do with, you know, having a, like, where did you go wrong with not being able to prioritize other things over alcohol? And I want to come at it from an area of, I'm trying to understand you as a person, not as your child. Because that is something, I know we've talked about this before on the show, just that's something that I have struggled with, is separating the mother from the human being. Because before anyone's your mom, they were a person first, like before you were ever dreamt up. And I guess part of the reason was just like looking at my friend and being like, I used to watch your mom chug beers and run around through parking lots. I used to like work super late night shifts with your mom and watch her count her tips and like smoke a joint in the back of a car. Like, your mom was a whole human. And she did crazy shit before you were ever thought of. And I know she's still a bomb-ass mom. I want to know what mine did that she could not put aside that and step into her role of being a mom. And I'm not expecting anything to really go the way that I would like it to. And I don't even know like what the first thing I say to her would be. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna like reach out to her and just be like, hey, I know this is random, but I want to just learn about you because I know we don't have a relationship. And I'm not trying to make a relationship. Like, I really don't want one, to be quite honest. I think that bridge has been burned. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like there's a theme going on in my life with like the constant reading about mothering and, you know, the seeing like a baby and being like, oh my God, like all of those like hormones, and then watching my friends be moms, and then everybody's having kids and everyone's like having baby announcements and people are fucking thrilled about their kids. And I'm just like, dude, I wonder if like part of what has blocked me from being comfortable with that aspect of being a woman is the fact that I don't have a relationship with my mom.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, that's a pretty amazing, like, what's it called? Like, maybe not an epiphany, but just to think about it that way. I feel like it's kind of funny you say that, because I feel like recently, and maybe, you know, it's not coincidence, we're at the age where our friends are having kids. And I've gone over to a couple of friends' houses and met their newborns for the first time. And, you know, and I hold them and they smell like baby, you know, like fresh baby. You know,
fresh baby.
They smell like fresh baby. Everybody who smelled a fresh baby knows the smell. And yeah, I think there's a little bit of sadness and a little bit of grief, because I, like, for me, it's not necessarily pregnancy. I mean, there are things I'm scared of about pregnancy 100%, but most of my fear around being a parent is after having a child and worrying about losing my identity and not having the ability to do what I want to do anymore. I'm also someone who cannot function without sleep. And I know parents don't get sleep for many years. And, you know, there's just a lot of and obviously like financial things. And I don't see that many people. When I see, obviously, like a newborn is very sweet. They're precious. They're quiet. The worst thing that happens is they cry in the middle of the night and they have explosions. I can deal with that. But, you know, I travel a lot and I'm at the airport and I see moms with screaming toddlers and I just feel so bad for them. Like, I am not judging. I feel bad.
Yeah.
I want to rescue her, you know, and just be like, come to a quiet room with me, okay? And, like, and we can just sit and do nothing and listen to nothing. And but there is, like, even though, so like, it doesn't look fun to me. It doesn't, nobody has convinced me that it's fun. And I know there's like this level of love that people say you don't experience until you have a child. And to some extent, I do believe that. Not that I can't experience unconditional love in other ways, but sure, I don't know what it's like to like birth a soul that is part of me. You know, I don't know what that's like. And the thing is that, so like, I feel like there's kind of some sadness around me, like almost wishing I did want to have kids, because I think I would be a great mom. And, but I know, like, in my brain, and I've told my boyfriend this, I'm at the age where, you know, we're going to get baby fever. And I was like, no matter what you hear come out of my mouth about babies, haunting one, don't listen to her. Okay. That is the hormones talking.
Let me go hug my friend's baby and I'll be fine. Just let me.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And, but, you know, there's like, yeah, there's grief and sadness around feeling like, even though I don't want kids. And I've also told my boyfriend the only circumstance I could ever see me having a kid is when I'm like 41 and I get my IUD taken out and I accidentally like get knocked up at 41. And then at 41, I might be like, okay, yeah, you know what?
Let's, yeah, then I'd be like, this is kind of weird. I'm geriatric.
Like, I think it is considered a geriatric pregnancy.
It is. After 33, it is geriatric.
Yeah.
So, which is crazy.
I know. So we're not calling women in their 40s geriatric. Please no. Don't think that. It's just
considered medically.
Yeah. But then I might be like, you know what? Let's do this or whatever. But there's, you know, like I have a little bit of FOMO. Like, am I missing out on something that I would love? And I wish that I could, like, I wish I could run scenarios of my life. I want to run a scenario and be able to see what my life would be like if I had kids and if I didn't. And like, I want to pick the one that I like better. Yeah. And, but yeah, like missing out on something that everybody else is doing, something that's considered normal. And like, I think what I am would be most like sad about or fearful of missing out on is having adult children and being friends with my adult children. And in my old age, not having someone to take care of me, because I don't think that that is a child's obligation, but having friends in my old age when all my friends are dying and like getting to see my kids grow up and pick careers and all this stuff, like having adult children sounds really good to me. Like being friends, because, you know, I was great friends with my mom and I loved our relationship, and it would be really cool to have an adult child friendship. So I think that's like what I feel like I am missing out the most on. But I also know that I don't have to have a biological child for I could adopt, but also I don't have to have a child for me to have that kind of relationship. Like I could make friends with somebody else's child and yeah, still have a relationship with an adult child, even though it's not mine.
Yeah, because like think of all the little like me's there are out there who like don't have a relationship with their mom, and they would love to like be befriended by an older woman who would be like a kind of like a mentor, like someone to look up to.
And I would love that. So who's to say when we are the older women that there aren't going to be younger women who want to be friends with us and have a similar relationship. So, but it has definitely been on my mind. My mind hasn't changed, but it's just a lot to think about because it's not something, the door is not open forever. Right. And I hate the like, your biological clock is ticking and then, that's really annoying. And I don't like that. But there is a reality to face there. And yeah, it's just, it's a lot of pressure. And also like, you know, who you make your baby with is important. And there's just all these things, but I don't want one. I don't want them. They don't look fun to me. There are aspects of them that look fun.
The brokenness doesn't look fun to me. The broke assness. Fucking thank you.
And see, if I'm, you know, if I'm 41 and I get knocked up, I'm going to have 41-year-old money, so it won't be as bad. But like, yeah, I don't, it has been on my mind though, just 'cause I think we both have a very strong motherly instinct because we're cancers and that's just how cancers are. And that's why we're so, you know, we're so affectionate towards our fur babies and they are like our children because that's what we have to put our motherly energy towards is our fur babies. But yeah, I just wish I could run. I wish I could run a scenario of my life and what it would be like if I had kids versus not.
I wish I could run a scenario of all the different reactions I could potentially receive from my mother.
Yeah.
That scares me.
Yeah. No, but reaching out to your mom will be very interesting. I'm very interested to know how that goes.
I mean, first I got to get her phone number.
Yeah.
And I know that one of my sisters is definitely not speaking to her right now because of some crazy shit she pulled. But like, I don't know. I was talking to my friend today about it and she said the same shit. She was like, you don't have anything to lose at the end of the day. You don't have a relationship to lose. So I just, yeah, like.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny how you said like everybody's mom before they were your mom, like they were a person. Well,
regular ass human being.
Right. Yeah. Just like all of your other friends, like you. And I actually had the thought the other day that I feel that way about my mom. Like when I think, oh, before my mom had my brother and I, she was a whole ass, just cool person on mm-hmm. her own. And I don't know, you probably don't think this way, but when I think about my dad, it's very different. When I think about him before kids, my brain automatically thinks my dad was some random dude. Like my dad is literally some random dude before he had kids, like some rando.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny that and obviously that's just because I did not have a good relationship with my dad and he wasn't a very nice person to me. And so, yeah, I'm like, oh, my mom was like a person before us and she had these hobbies. She was a swimmer. She loved to do this and this and this. And then I'm like, my dad was probably literally just some random dude at work that she met in a cubicle. Like
random dude.
He probably didn't have hobbies. And the thing is, he probably did have hobbies. He had friends, all that stuff. But when I think of him, I'm just like, he is a stranger. That is a strange man. That is a stranger man.
Yeah. And it's weird that I don't feel like that about my mom because I've never had a relationship with her either. Like, but it's like much harder, I feel like, to be like, your mom was just some random woman because like she grew you for 9 months. So just imagine for a second if that's how society looked at it. They always look at it as like a sperm donor, but like even when like the mom like skips out on people, like skips out on her family, it doesn't feel like random because women don't just get to walk away from the baby if they just like when you're pregnant, like you're pregnant for 9 months unless you get an abortion. And like, that doesn't make it feel random. You can squirt your seed or whatever, and you can walk away. And that's what makes it random. But like with women, that's why I don't understand. I will never understand growing something for 9 months and then not deciding to adopt your child out, but instead growing something for 9 months, kind of trying to raise it. But then maybe just like ditching it on grandparents or just leaving it in a trash can or leaving it at a fire station or something. And some women don't even do that. Like some of them just dump it off random in like a random garbage can or some shit. I don't even know how I got on this topic. I think we're just talking about like the randomness, but like it just feels so much more random for men in that case than it does for women because they can just squirt it and go on. And women, like your mom nurtured and kept you alive in her body for 9 months and then gave birth to you and was probably the first person to hold you. How is that random?
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. No, you're totally right.
But I don't know. It's just so
It's a fucking lot to deal with.
It's a lot to process. It's a lot to deal with, and like the whole,
and it's a bit. It's not. This is not like this. This decision is not like, oh, I think I want to start a new career. Or if you decide to do it and you go through with it, you're stuck with it forever until the day you die. You are responsible. Or you can choose to not. But then, you know, there's probably people who are older than us and are child-free by choice and love their decision. But there's got to be some ounce of wondering, maybe not regret, but just wondering, what would it have been like? Would I have liked it? I don't know, because I will never know. And I guess I'm not worried about regret, but I don't know. Maybe I am worried about regret.
I don't think that I will ever regret not wanting to be pregnant. What I do think that I will regret is if I don't, at no point in my life I ever adopt. Like, I do want that. If you could just snap your fingers and there was just a baby there, I probably would have like four. Let's be real. I'm terrified of pregnancy. Like, I'm tearing up because it scares me so bad. What is that fear called? Please Google it, because I have it. But like, I do think that if I get to be like 60 years old one day and I have not even adopted a toddler, that I'm going to be like, holy shit, I actually like kind of wanted to do that. I wanted to like mold a little cool person.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fear of pregnancy is called tocophobia.
Toco? What the fuck does that come from?
Tocophobia, it means the fear or dread, pathological fear of pregnancy, which can lead to avoidance of childbirth. Primary is a morbid fear. So like, meaning you're worried you're gonna die in childbirth. And then also like, and then things that you're scared of, like ripping your asshole and shit. Yeah, I don't know. Tocophobia. T-O-K-O. Phobia. Tocophobia.
Yeah, I don't like that. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's like exactly, you know, the way that I am about like underwater boats and shit. Ooh, I'm not like that. Like, okay.
Underwater boats?
You know, what? I have submechanophobia, bitch.
Oh, a submarine?
No, submechanophobia. Like anything man-made that's sunken under the water, it makes me, like, I get, like, I can't, like, I gag.
What is man-made sunken under the water? What are you talking about?
Anchors, boats, cars, fucking houses, the Titanic.
So I'm never going to convince you to get scuba certified, am
I? No, you freaking clown. I've only told you this 10 million times when we were talking about the Titanic time before last when you were here. I was like, the internet's not a safe place for me right now because everywhere is sunken ships. Like, my favorite movie as a kid was the Titanic. So I don't know when this happened, but I get, like, I feel like someone is, like, it has to be how I died in a past life, because I get so uncomfortable that I want to crawl out of my skin. I want to vomit. I want to cry. That's not how I feel about pregnancy. So I know that it's not a real phobia, but
well,
it is, it's a fear.
Probably on, it's probably a spectrum.
It's on the spectrum. There's just a lot of nasty shit. And like, there's these women who have these beautiful pregnancies. Like, if any of you guys listening watch, what's her name on YouTube? It's like an Australian vegan woman, and she travels like Australia with her husband, or no, her partner of like probably 20 years, and they have like four gorgeous white-haired fucking vegan children, and they're so well-mannered, so sweet. I mean, who knows what happens off camera, but she just really emulates like maternal instinct and like divine feminine. Like, she's just very wholesome and dedicated to her children. Like, that's her life. She's wonderful. Her pregnancies, she has them all in the water. Yes, they look mad painful, but she, like, her face doesn't change. And like, she just like snaps back. And I'm like, bro, I don't have the discipline to be up in the gym and shit. And I know I'd get mad fucking depressed if I didn't recognize myself in the mirror. Call that shallow, vain, whatever the fuck you want. That's who I am. If I struggle, God forbid I ever struggle with anything like that, because I don't know how I will handle it. And you do struggle with that after you have a baby, because that baby belly doesn't go away. You have to work to make it go away. Somebody out here is probably like, bitch, get on a treadmill and shut up. You're right.
You're right.
But you shut up.
Shut up.
There's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
Mean.
Well, and it's that, and we, you know what? That is also, it's going to be on our minds for the next who know how many years. You know, it's not going away. So it's something that I think is good to definitely talk about with your therapist, talk about with your friends, and like friends that have your best interest at hearts, best heart, best, what is the saying?
Best interest at heart.
Best interest at heart. People with kids, people without kids, but it's like, and then, you know, I know Brooke knows somebody who's like freezing their eggs right now, and it's really fucking expensive. And
they actually just texted me right when you said that. That's fucking crazy.
Whoa. And it's very invasive. It's a big fucking deal. And there is so much pressure around it. And there's a time limit. It's just, it feels like a lot. And I only feel like I started being adult like last year. Okay. If I'm being honest, If I'm being honest, I haven't really felt like an adult until this past year. I have felt like a child playing dress up in a grown up body for a long time. And so I feel like I'm a baby adult, which we are. We're in our late 20s. We are baby adults still, okay?
Starts to get real, I bet, at like 33.
Yeah, I know. And
you know what? Maybe we will always feel like baby adults because we're not raising babies.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's a lot. And I know my answer right now, and I'm pretty certain my answer is not going to change. I am open to letting my mind change, because if I want to change my mind in the future, I'm not going to be like, well, past Liz promised that she wasn't going to do this or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want to regret. I don't want to wonder, but I also don't want to do something permanent and then wish I hadn't. And I only have, I have one friend, someone that I grew up with who has come to Denver a couple of times for work, and we've hung out, and she is the only mom who's ever told me, like, I love my daughter. I love her so much. She got pregnant her first semester of college.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And she had a rough time. It was a horrific experience. And I was there for a lot of it. Like I was there right when her, you know, when she had her baby. I wasn't in the room, but like when her baby was young, and I'm just going to college. I was dealing with my parents being dead, and here she is getting a 2-bedroom apartment all on her own because her parents didn't support her because she got pregnant out of wedlock and all that shit. And I was like, I don't know how you are going to school full time. I don't know how I'm going to school full time right now. I don't know how you are going to school full time and you are taking care of a baby. I don't know how you're doing
it.
I don't know. I literally don't know. But she made that shit happen. And I think she's amazing. She's like probably, she's got to be one of the strongest women I know. I don't even like see her that often, but I just know she is such a strong woman. But she is the only mom who's ever admitted to me, I love my daughter, but if I could go back, I would have gotten an abortion. And at the time, we were both still fairly religious. We were both kind of coming out of it, but like abortion, like still wasn't really an option for us.
Yeah.
It was like, I think we were both probably at the point where we were like, okay, like we were going to vote pro-choice because we didn't want to make decisions for other women. But like, if we got pregnant, we wouldn't do it, that kind of stuff. And so she didn't, but she was like, if I could go back, like I wasn't ready yet. And I would have had an abortion. And I'm like, that's the kind of shit I want to hear. I want to hear real women's deep thoughts about this, because I totally get, just because you say that, it doesn't mean that I think you don't love your child.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of women have fear of, if you admit that out loud, like that's a thought that can never leave your mouth, you know? And if you admit it out loud, you're a bad mom, or what if your kid were to find that out one day, or whatever. But that shit is real. And that's the kind of stuff I want to know about.
Sometimes, like, I wish that I could just hear from my own mom's mouth, like, that she wished she could go back and make better choices and not have her children. Because for me, like, I feel like she would have, to me, that would have meant, like, that she regretted the direction her life went. And that would mean a lot more to me than, like, on the scale of, like, me being hurt from hearing that, I'd be happier that, like, you cared enough about yourself to make better choices. I feel like I've read a lot of books too where the narrator's a mom and talks about, like, regretting, like, loving their kid, but regretting that they didn't have them later in life, or regretting that they didn't make, like, better choices with who they had their kid with. I do think it's a very common thing. I don't think, like, I think it's way more common than we realize, because most people just put on social media, like, oh, I love my family, I love my kids, I'm so happy. Because what are you going to do? Your choices are either to run off, commit murder of some sort, like Casey Anthony, or that's really your only choices. So you have to, like, tell the world that you're so happy, because the alternative is what? You can't shove them back inside you. So
yeah. And there's just, it's a very complex topic. And I know we've always been like, fuck them kids, and like, we're very blunt about it. And but, you know, we also have complex, deep feelings about all these things, even though we have a stance that we are taking right now. It doesn't mean that we don't think about what life would be like if we did take this path. And
yeah, it goes so much deeper than fuck them kids, to be honest.
Yeah, that's just, like, fun to say. But
it's fun to say.
But also, I read an article, I don't remember if it was the New York Times or what it was, but it was an article saying about how married couples and people with children are, you know, more celebrated in our society than single people, people who aren't married, people who don't choose to have kids, because, you know, you go to baby showers, you go to bridal showers, you go to weddings, you go to anniversary parties, you go to a kid's first, second, third, fourth birthday party and all this stuff. And you, as a single person or as someone who doesn't have the things that you're doing, like, you're spending money, you're spending all this money to go do these things and celebrate these aspects of someone else's life. But there isn't a equivalent for single people or childless people. And so there's, like, nobody's celebrating this aspect of your life, like someone who's getting married or having kids is being celebrated. And it makes you feel like, you know, like, oh, all my big moments are over because I'm not having kids or I'm not getting married or whatever it is. Like there's no more big moments to celebrate. And that's not true at all. It just sucks that our society doesn't do things for those people too. And those people just end up spending money on things that they chose not to do.
Yeah.
You know? And not to say that your single friends or your friends without kids don't want to come to your baby's first birthday party, don't want to come to your wedding, don't want to get you a wedding gift. That's not it. It just, you know, it's almost like how I almost took up smoking when I worked at restaurants because I wanted a 5-minute break. Like I was like, I felt penalized because I didn't get a break because I didn't smoke and I felt penalized.
You should have gotten fake cigarettes and been like,
I should have, but that's what it feels like, right? Like
yeah.
I made this decision to not do something in my life for my greater good. And I feel punished for it.
Yeah. Why aren't y'all throwing single parties for me?
Yeah. How come I don't get a break because I chose, because I don't smoke. Like I'm the one making a healthier decision here.
I deserve a fucking cookie. Fuck you guys.
Hello. Yeah.
I'm the one making the healthier decision here.
And right now, the healthy decision for me is to not have kids. And that's not being celebrated.
Yeah. I'm trying not to overpopulate the earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I get a hell yeah? Like, thank you.
Yeah. There are these people who, this like group of environmentalists that are always standing at this bridge I cross to go to work every day. They're not there every day, but the bridge I cross every day. And sometimes they're there. And they always want to be like, can you stop and donate $5 to the environment? And then, and they want you. I have offered to give a one-time donation before, like the change in my pocket. And they were like, oh no, we only take it if you set up monthly payments. I was like, fuck you. I'm not setting up monthly payments.
They did that. Remember when you were helping me move and we were in Carytown and they asked for that. And you were like, you went up to them for me and you're like, she's not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, no thanks. But well, because I deal with those people almost on a daily basis and I'm used to telling them no. But sometimes like when I don't even have time to stop and say no, I will keep walking and I'll turn around and be like, I sold my car and I'm not having kids. I'm doing the most for the environment that I possibly can. Thanks.
That's fucking funny.
Yeah. It's just this is, I am helping the environment. This, that, not having a car and not having kids are like the biggest things you could probably do for your carbon footprint, right?
You're like, dude, I'm doing
celebrate me.
Celebrate me, ho. I'm gonna keep my 10 cents and add that to it towards a star of easies.
Yeah, exactly. But that's so funny. I'm glad you remembered that because I forgot about how those people were just talking to you and trying to get you to set up monthly payments. And we were trying to walk. We were just trying and just like
trying to walk. I'm like, bro, you have some fucking nerve.
No, we're not doing this. Thank you for your time. Goodbye.
Please leave me the hell alone.
Yeah.
I'm fucking tired. I truly am.
Yeah. Well, this episode kind of turned into a an OG hour-long episode, didn't it?
It really did. I was going to say,
so much for, you know what, you guys, we didn't have one for last week. So here's your hour-long episode to make up for it.
Here's your hour-long episode to make up for the 2 weeks that we missed.
We love you.
Love you. And of course, as per usual, we'd love to hear your thoughts and perspectives. And OG listeners probably really, really, really realize like how much of a adjustment that is in my demeanor and behavior on this show in regards to children. But That's me. Oh. I'm saying out loud, I want to adopt one day. I'm saying I don't want to be pregnant, but I'm saying I want to adopt.
Speaking of being at the end of our episode.
Oh, Ostara.
Ostara eggs. Should it be maybe because I instead of making it the baby, maybe we should make it an egg.
Yeah, let's make it an egg.
Let's make it an egg because babies are born from eggs too.
I like that.
Because either it's an egg inside your body or you're a chicken and the egg comes out of your body.
You, I made an egg tonight and I thought of you. You made like an egg and like a avocado toast thing.
But my favorite Sammy of all times is lightly toasted bread, cheese, avocado, and a fried egg. That shit is so good. It's amazing.
It is good. It is good. She's not fucking wrong. I can attest.
So go to the post that correlates with this episode. This is EP 129 in case you're listening in the future and you want to go dig through our Instagram and comment some eggs and let us know your thoughts and opinions on this topic in whatever little or as much detail as you like. We read all the comments and we appreciate you interacting with us.
We love you guys so much. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Don't forget to join the Witchful Thinking Coven, Cosmic Coven, on Facebook. Fucking, I don't even know what else there is. Follow us on X. We have to talk about that later because I'm.
Oh, kidding. We'll talk about that next time.
Next time. But yeah, love you guys so much. Thanks for listening to us. Blab, and we'll talk to you next time.